type of the attack, and we did so successfully.
Which, again, that's the good news, but the fact that this attack happened at all is really horrible, terrible news, because it makes you wonder, well, what's really coming next in the Middle East, right? We are now waiting to see whether Israel is going to retaliate, whether, you know, other coalition forces of some kind might form against Iran and retaliate militarily. On the one hand, you had obviously a direct military attack against Israel, which justifies a response from Israel. On the other hand, nobody was killed so far as we know. One person was injured, which would tend to moderate the justification for retaliation by Israel. But certainly, nobody expects that Israel is going to do nothing. The question is, what exactly or how much is it going to do? And, you know, you've certainly got the United States is going to stand behind them.
Our commitment to Israel's security against these threats from Iran and its proxies is ironclad.
Right, exactly. And John Kirby yesterday talking about this on Fox News Sunday with Shannon Bream.
So we have been very public, this administration, about critiquing Israel's moves, especially when it comes to things like moving into Rafah, which they say Hamas is an existential threat that remains there. Yes, hiding behind human shields, but we've been managing that a bit. Are we also going to manage how they respond to Iran?
Well, again, I think we'll have to wait and see what the Israelis decide to do. I don't know. I've been around allies and alliances my whole professional life, and I can't think of a single one where, if it's a real alliance, where you can't have honest conversations with one another a little bit every now and then and take issue with the way something might be done. We're not bashful about that with our good friend Israel. But the other thing we're not bashful about, and certainly President Biden's not been bashful about, is making sure that when we say we're going to help Israel defend itself, by goodness, we're gonna put something behind that. And we did that last night.
Can I just say, I really like John Kirby, and I don't mind him being the spokesperson to represent the Biden, you know, national security policy. I mean, I admire and respect the guy. I used to be the PAO for the Blue Angels a long time ago, and many things since then. I have never until yesterday heard him have a Southern accent. He had just a little bit. There was a little bit, if you listen, you know, just a little bit of a Southernism going on with him, which was unusual. But this question of, you know, to what degree is Biden responsible for this? Did the Americans U.S. foreign policy create an opening for Iran by creating a projection of weakness? This is certainly the criticism coming from the right, from President Trump and his supporters.
The conversations about unfreezing assets, about waivers on sanctions.
Yeah.
Could this administration have been tougher on Iran? Did it sense an opening?
It's hard to look at what President Biden has done with respect to Iran and say that he hasn't been tough on Iran, that we haven't put pressure on them, that we haven't additional 500 sanctions, additional resources in the region. And let's take a look at that ballistic missile. Okay, so they launched more than 100 mm-hmm. ballistic missiles. And how many got through? And the reason it didn't get through is because President Biden made sure that we pre-positioned forces in the region to help Israel shoot them down. So this vaunted ballistic missile program of theirs didn't turn out to be so vaunted last night.
But why not support something that would have stopped that program, or at least contained it in some way, so it's not launching in Israel and we aren't having to get it involved defensively?
Again,
so.
Shannon, just look at the sanctions that we put in place against Iran. Look at the resources we put into the region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal, and now Iran is so much dramatically closer to a potential nuclear weapon capability than they were before Mr. Trump was elected.
So there's a lot of, like, he said, she said in the background there, especially relating to the JCPOA and, you know, the Iran deal that, as he says, you know, was negotiated under the Obama administration. And then President Trump decided not to participate in that because he thought that it was a terrible deal. And, you know, you have pallets of cash being released to the Iranians. You have other money being released to the Iranians, which he says is completely unable to be used in these ways. But, okay, that's sort of the backdrop to all of this. I think one sort of interesting question in this is, did Iran know or have reason to believe that the attack would fail? You said, why would they launch an attack that they know would fail? Okay, hear me out. I'm not giving any particular military analysis. I'm just, you know, as a layperson, okay, they're well aware of the defensive capabilities of Iran or of Israel against missiles or against drones, with their fighter forces, with the Iron Dome, with the batteries of supporting anti-incoming that the United States may have pre-positioned, as you have there, Admiral Kirby saying. Is it possible that Iran carefully calculated well, we can send this attack. It's going to look like we're taking action to retaliate against our commanders being killed in Syria, which is what happened about 2 weeks ago. I think justified, but they would say unprecedented attack on our people in other places. Well, your people shouldn't be involved in military attacks and strategy against Israel. I mean, you bring this on yourself, okay? So is it possible that they carefully calculated that, look, we want to be able to do something to show that we're not going to put up with this and that we're serious, but we don't really want to get into a war with Israel, just not right now, not directly. Well, sir, what we could do is we could send some really slow drones over the course of the next couple of hours to Israel, and they'd shoot them all down, and nobody's probably going to get killed, and then you can save face, and the Israelis probably won't bomb us into the Stone Age and use their nuclear weapons against us that nobody knows for sure that they have, but we all know they have. I'm not saying it's even likely that that's true. I don't claim to know nearly enough about the Iranian mindset or its leaders and what they might be thinking. I'm just saying it's a possibility that this was calculated to be, you know, we're going to throw a punch and miss because we know their defensive capabilities are really good. Now, it could just as easily have been we're going to throw a first punch and see how they react so that we can throw a better second punch or third punch. This could be the beginning of something much greater in the Middle East, but it could also have been basically a face-saving measure of we're going to, you know, send this and hopefully nothing happens because we don't really want to be involved in a direct war against Israel. But maybe they do. Maybe that is what they want, to wipe the Israelis off. Well, we know they want to wipe the Israelis off the map, but maybe somewhere in there, there's an opening maybe to hope that this was not meant to be, you know, part one of God, who knows what in the Middle East. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As if we'd end the movie like that.
Yeah. Let's do the Scooby-Doo ending.
Good call.
This is one of my all-time favorite Led Zeppelin songs, and I know it's a little bit on the obscure side for some of you, but it's extra one of my favorites because it was already one of my favorites, and then we went to see Robert Plant with the, I think it was with the Rolling Stone? No, that's a different tour. I went to Robert Plant one time back in the, you know, like when, you know, 40 years ago, 35 years ago. And when this song came on, I got so excited that I accidentally punched my friend in the face. And my friend, you got to understand, like, I'm 5'7", and my friend's like 6'3", and I could just barely reach his face on a good day, but I just, you know, did one of those woohoo kind of shouts and threw my hands up in the air, and he's like, dude, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And he's, you know, big guy, he's like, it's okay, barely felt it. 4'3", 7", so I'm like, that's worse than if I hadn't done it, honestly. Let's see, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez is set to be sentenced today. She faces a potential 18 months in prison for negligence in loading the live ammo into Alec Baldwin's gun on the set of the movie, which, of course, caused the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Jury selection will begin today in former President Trump's hush money case. Trump attorney Will Scharf told Fox News Sunday that it'll be difficult to select an impartial jury at the height of the election season. Of course, Trump accused of falsifying business records to cover up the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels there. And today, Andrew, is everybody's favorite day. It's tax day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's Titanic sinking day.
Oh, well, I suppose it's that, too.
It's actually, go ahead, though. Tell your story about tax day, because, yeah, tax day is every day for me, or every year for me. I think about this a lot. Go ahead.
Well, so today is tax day, and if you haven't filed yet, like me, pushing everything direct to the deadline, they do have an update on their direct file system. That's the free tax filing system from the IRS now, and that will allow you to import your information from last year to, I guess, more easily validate your return. The direct file program is available in 12 states, Florida being one of them this year.
So unlike your doctor's office, you will not have to fill out all the forms again every right. single time you show up? Is that the idea?
I believe so, yeah. And if you... If you've filed with like TurboTax, I think TurboTax and stuff like that already did this, but now they've imported that functionality.
I got it. Very good. No, I say tax day because it's my son's birthday. So I became a dad this day 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who is this old person in the mirror? So weird. But it's also, it's one of those days where most people don't realize, I do mostly because it's my son's birthday. This is a day of like massively positive historical things and massively negative historical things, which, you know, the negative ones you may be familiar with. Obviously, the Boston Marathon bombing, okay, in 2013. 200 female students kidnapped Borno State in Nigeria by Boko Haram, 2014. You had the crush at Hillsborough Stadium in the Sheffield in the FA Cup semifinal. 96 people died in 1989. The Titanic sank. 1912, you had, and Lincoln died.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I never realized that all of those things fell.
All happened on the same day. That's right. So my son, you know, okay, and plus it's tax day, the worst of all. The most horrible thing. No, but the other side of it is there was a lot of really, really good stuff that happened. The Articles of Peace ending the American Revolutionary War, ratified in 1783. You had insulin became generally available in 1923. The first road atlas for Rand McNally in 1924. I know these are small potatoes so far, but bear with me. Jackie Robinson debuted in 1947.
Okay.
On this day in history, right? The B-52 maiden flight in 1952, ironically, well, or appropriately. McDonald's founded 1955. And these days, with the advent of the electric vehicle, I think we'd call this a dubious honor to recognize historically, but the first Mustang rolled off the showroom floor 2 days before it was set to go on sale nationwide in 1964.
Okay, there we go. That's
See,
special.
And
yeah,
my oldest son was born, so it's an okay day.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, but no,
great
like
day.
Right, highs and lows, right? Big
Very
day.
Very much so. Yeah.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. 437-1620. And I will do something that I will do throughout the day periodically today, and I will simply give you my. My two main, like if I were to ever run for the U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, or I mean, God, president, which I'm not. Okay, I'm not. I never will. But I'm just, if I were, okay, if I could have my, you know, Andrew Wave's magic wand kind of results, okay, these are the two things that I would advocate in terms of taxes. Well, three, there's my three, but tax day is only relevant to two of them. Okay. I mean, I would get rid of the income tax entirely and go to a, you know, nationwide sales tax because just like we're probably going to do. I mean, we've already gotten rid of the income tax. We're probably going to get rid of ad valorem tax in Florida. At least I hope so. Anyway, That's a side note. That's not the main one. Okay, tax reform is fun stuff, I know. Here's my two policies that I would say. Number one, end withholding. We have withholding and you never see the money and you never think about how much government costs, right? And for a lot of people who get a tax refund every year, the government is holding your money all year long, which means over the course of your life, they're always holding a salary of yours, so much of your money, which they get interest on, or they can maybe pay off debts and then pay less interest on. But okay, so end withholding and make the cost of government actually something where you have to write a check every year or send a payment or Venmo the U.S. government. The other one is make tax day about 3 weeks before election day instead of completely off backseat middle in the hump on April 15th when nobody thinks about it again. You notice it's the farthest away from elections it could possibly be right here? Make tax day right in front of elections. Oh, people will pay attention to tax policy.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jury selection starts today in New York for former President Trump's first criminal trial related to concealing hush money payments before the 2016 election.
Potential jurors will be asked 42 total questions, including which cable, print, and social media platforms they get their news from. They will also be asked if they have ever attended a Trump campaign event, if they follow him on social media, and if they have ever attended anti-Trump rallies.
Fox's Brooks Singman. President Biden meets with the Prime Minister of the Czech Republic at the White House today after a meeting with Iraq's Prime Minister.
He's trying to de-escalate the situation in the Middle East after that unprecedented attack by Iran against Israel over the weekend. President Biden says the U.S. will step in to help Israel defend itself. What he says the U.S. won't do is participate in a counteroffensive if Israel does launch one against Iran.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, more than 300 missiles and drones were launched at Israel, most of them intercepted. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, partly cloudy. It's 58 degrees in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Well, they're going to be tightening security at Eglin Air Force Base next month. Starting in May, they'll begin doing 100% identification checks for anybody entering the base. Anybody with no DOD card will have to get a visitor pass at that point, which can be sponsored by a uniformed service member, dependent over 16, DOD employee, or a retiree. Those visitor passes can be obtained at either gate at Eglin and would be valid for up to 60 days. Eglin recommending getting those passes now to prevent traffic backups at the gates next month. A teenager is wanted on a manslaughter charge for a fatal accidental shooting last week. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says 16-year-old Ethan O'Brien had fled the scene after accidentally shooting another 16-year-old while showing off his gun on April 12th. That shooting happened at a large gathering on Wishbone Road. The victim died at the scene. Investigators say O'Brien had fled the scene before deputies arrived. If you have any information on Ethan O'Brien's location, contact the Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. Rick Scott accusing President Biden of undermining Israel. Senator Scott tweeting yesterday after Axios reported that Biden had told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the U.S. would not support an Israeli counterattack in Iran. Scott says, "We don't want war, neither does Israel, but America should never undermine our friends." A small airplane apparently flipped over trying to land at Log Lake Airport in Holt over the weekend. This happened on Sunday morning. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office says a Cessna 150 was trying to land when that plane ended up flipping onto its roof. Investigators say the good news, nobody was hurt during that incident. And if you're driving on 98 through the live Naval Oaks area, you might see some smoke today, tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. That's because the Gulf Islands National Seashore is planning a prescribed burn today through midweek. Those burns are scheduled between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. each day, but they also won't happen if the conditions are not right. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine. Temperatures heating up. 76 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, we'll drop into the 60s. 64 degrees for your low. Waking up Tuesday morning, nice and mild. We will have partly cloudy skies. Tuesday afternoon, high near 77. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Going to have that beautiful weather continue on Wednesday as we heat up. Possibly 80 degrees for that high on Wednesday with partly cloudy skies. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is 58 degrees in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, and 54 in Milton. Our next news at 6, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Savino with Your Money Now. Times keep getting tougher for Apple. A new report shows the company's global iPhone shipments fell nearly 10% in the first 3 months of the year. The International Data Corporation also says Apple recorded the steepest decline in shipments among the world's top five smartphone brands. One big reason why? Apple's struggles in China, where local phone makers like Huawei have seen a resurgence in popularity. A Fed official says the bad vibes surrounding America's strong economy should not be discounted. The comments came from Boston Fed President Susan Collins in a weekend interview. Collins says the central bank should pay more attention to Americans' pessimism. Personal savings rates hit decade lows, even as the economy has grown at a better than 3% clip in the last year. On Wall Street, futures are modestly higher as stocks look to rebound from their worst week of the year. Investors are also monitoring increased tensions in the Middle East, though oil futures are 1% lower. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you've got a bug problem or worse, a rodent situation, Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's E-N-S-E-C.net.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Severe weather can strike at any time. Any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
Any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Cause you had a bad day, you're taking one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie. You work on a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie. You're coming back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day.
Santa Rosa County has approximately 16.5%
of prime farmland that is an active row crop production. That's pretty significant when you think about 16.5% out of 100% of land that is available that we are utilizing in our row crop production. Of that, that's 7.9% of all county lands that's in row crop production. And we definitely see that we could have a very potential problems in the near future, and we're here today to try to present some solutions to those problems that could appear very soon.
You remember when Ryan Jenkins was on the show a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about, you know, the loss of farm areas in Santa Rosa County and generally speaking in Florida, but particularly in the north end of our two-county area. And he said that, you know, something needs to be done, really, to preserve and protect farmland, something that we've been talking about for quite a long time with him and with you about that risk. As you have growth, as you have sprawl and expansion, you're going to, you know, it's the basic problem is that the landowner can either choose to rent his land to a farmer to farm it, which is moderately profitable, or he can just sell it to a developer, which is really profitable. The problem is, as Ryan always says, once you plant a house, you never grow crops there, right? The only thing you'll ever get out of that land is a house. And he's right. And so this is Levi Blackman. He's the conservation program coordinator for Santa Rosa County, talking at the county commission meeting last week about the need to preserve farmland and just about how much economy, for example, in Santa Rosa County depends on farming.
Pulled some research from the University of Florida office, which is the Institute of Food and Agricultural Science. And they run many numbers across Santa Rosa County to determine how many jobs are truly related to agriculture within Santa Rosa County. And they ran this in 2021. That's the closest year I could find this information. And you can see 9,526 jobs.
That's direct jobs.
In 2023, there was 45,467 jobs in Santa Rosa County, Florida. When you take this, it's not hard to figure out that one-fifth of the county is influenced by agriculture when it comes to the relationship there of jobs.
20% of the county jobs are in agriculture, which it's easy to forget if you don't drive through the area, right? You live maybe on the south end, you live midway, Tiger Point, Navarre, and maybe you live in Milton, you drive through Blackwater, you know, drive through Eglin to go get to that area, and you never drive into Jay. You know, you never see the north end, and you forget that all that farmland is up there. Now, my wife and I go bike riding all the time. We've actually finished Escambia and Santa Rosa counties now, and most of Santa Rosa County. But we have seen all of these things ourselves, you know, on bike, and it's vast, the amount of farmland. But it's also obvious that a lot of development is taking up a lot of that land. And, you know, you think about 20% of the economic activity in terms of jobs. How many farms or family farmers are there?
In 2022, there were 732 credited farms within Santa Rosa County, Florida.
732 credited family farms. How much money do they generate?
Greater than $90 million on an annual basis. I did a mean annual data. I basically did the numbers. Every year for the past 10 years, we have an average of at least $90 million.
And this is important. That's for row crop farming. You know, that's your cotton, that's your peanuts, that's your corn. Okay, those are the basic crops that we grow here, a few other strawberries, stuff like that. You know, sod even, I guess would count as a row crop. We happen to ride past, this is in Alabama, but we happen to ride past the Werner sod farms the other day. And I'm like, why? Who's growing grass? Oh, you know, that's what that is. But anyway, the main crop's 90 million, but that does not include timber, which is, of course, again, maybe you don't know, so I shouldn't say of course, but if you don't know, a huge crop in Northwest Florida. We plant trees in order to cut down trees, right?
This $90 million per year of an annual income does not include state timberland revenue. Most people understand that we have 170,000 acres of state land, Blackwater River State Forest in Santa Rosa County, Florida. You would think, wow, that's a lot of revenue. These numbers does not include that revenue.
And if you start to include that number,
not included in the $90 million annual revenue of agriculture is our pole industry with timber, our chip and saw industry with timber, and also our saw timber industry and timber. That's three classifications of timber that is not included here. That's why it is clear that we are approaching a billion-dollar industry within the past decade in agriculture in Santa Rosa County, Florida.
Now, a billion divided by 10 is how much? It's $100 million, so about $10 million annually in timber, according to the figures that he gave. Now, you've got about 63,000 acres of crop and grazing land out of 75,000 total, or so out of 751,000 total acres. And if you just take crops alone and take out the grazing, it's about 53,000. And then if you put back in timber, you kind of get a picture of how much of the real total land footprint in Santa Rosa County is being used by various forms of farming, whether it's agriculture or silviculture. That's the tree farming term.
Total land mass, 233,000 acres, is the influence we have as private citizens on Santa Rosa County, Florida. That is 36%. If you look at the numbers, 10%, which is row crop and grazing, and 26% that is private forestry land.
And again, for every acre or 1,000 acres that you take out of crop production or even tree production, because, of course, sometimes you tear down tree or tree farms in order to make for houses. Once you plant houses, you never get crops, right? So what are some of the ways to make this better or to work on this? Well, there's a variety of them, and, you know, Ryan had mentioned some of these to us when he was on the show last, but this was Levi kind of giving the county commissioners a bit of a introductory presentation on what can be done. Number one is you could have a vote by the citizens, a referendum, to actually just create a policy to spend money and to try to prevent expansion into farming areas.
One important note about a referendum, where in Florida a referendum has been brought before the residents of the county on ballot, it has been majorities passed when it comes to conservation in Florida. Just to give a few examples, from 2020 to 2022, we have Alachua County, Brevard County, Indian River, Manatee, Nassau, and Polk counties. All of these counties presented referendums before their residents, and they all passed with a majority.
So, and which I'm assuming that would be a tax policy, I'm assuming is why that would be a referendum. I'm not 100% familiar, and he didn't go into detail about what the referendum would be. The two other policy approaches, and generally speaking, the takeaway from this is going to be we need to try a little of all of it, okay, a little bit of all of it, is easements. That's one of the approaches, is easements.
One of the biggest cons on an easement program is it takes time. You know, patience is that one thing that people just don't often have a lot of, right? This here takes a lot of time to implement. And oftentimes, working with the United States Department of Agriculture, that time is necessary to establish a working program. But yet here, it also requires match money. It's going to have to be built off of someone's dollar. Pros of that, though, is it protects valuable agricultural lands, and not necessarily just agricultural lands, but other lands of interest that need easements, whether it be natural resource related or not.
So remember, the idea of an easement, if you don't understand the concept, is if you have a piece of land and, for example, the city is going to build a road on it, okay, they might own an easement over the top of it. You still own the land, you own the soil, but they own the use of the top layer of that. There's like an invisible idea on the top that they own access to and can use how they want. So that's an easement. Now, they might vacate that easement, or if it first might be for drainage, that it's kind of like their use of the property, even though they don't own it. So in this case, we're talking about easements for making it so that the top layer of the land would be only usable for agriculture, that you could not use it for something else. And that would mean that, you know, somebody would still own the land, but the county, for example, would pay money to the farmer. And or would pay money to the landowner, sorry. And that would be, you know, some fraction of the land's value, let's say 10% of the of the land's value. And then it would only be able to be used for farming. So that would compensate them for giving up the right to, for example, build houses on it or something like that. And it would put it in a sort of a permanent agricultural status.
These programs as the protection voluntarily. The last thing anybody should do is come to me as a resident and tell me what I'm going to do with my land. So if we can voluntarily enter into something that's available, that's offered, I see it as a win-win for the county. I see it as a win-win for all aspects.
Yeah, so if you're using financial resources from the county or from the state through the county or from the feds through the county, whatever, in order to buy these easements so that you've changed the nature of that property's use to prevent it from being developed. That's one way to do it. The other one is a transfer of development rights. And it's a little hard to get your brain around the difference between them. But the short version is you use TDRs primarily, and they do exist in several places in Florida already. But for example, if you have agricultural land right now, typically the rule is one house per acre. You can build a house per acre on that land. There's some that are more like, you know, one per 10, one per 25. But, okay, let's just use that as an example. One house per acre. If you sell your development rights, you transfer development rights, what you do is you move them into an area that has a certain amount of density, like let's say 4 units per acre. And let's say you sell, I mean, just again, bear with me on the numbers, but let's say you have 4 acres, each of which could have a house. Well, you sell your development rights and then you put them into an area and you raise the density from 4 units per acre to 8 units per acre, let's say on that property. That's what a TDR is all about, is not changing the overall use of all of the land, but eliminating your ability through zoning transfer, basically, to build a house on it and moving that over to somewhere where they can use it to enhance density. Because remember, the trade-off is always going to be, if you can't develop on land like farmland, you're going to have to be able to put the people's houses somewhere. That's where you want to increase density other places.
With a transfer of development right, it often sounds good and looks good, and we can really explain it well. You can notice the graph here that it shows landowner A. He's defined as a sending person. They send their development rights over here to landowner B, which receives them. As we think about a transfer of development right, it's important because it has to have hard decisions made by those in leadership. Leadership of our county has to determine where the county plans in the future to make development and establish infrastructure and to create utilities for this county. And by doing that, it works hand in hand with our agricultural community because there's a great need there.
And he says there's about 10,000 acres so far. People have expressed interest in transferring development rights of that. And, you know, if the farmer owns that land, that would be a sort of a way of subsidizing the farmer while transferring some of that development into higher density areas. These programs do exist already in several places in Florida. And again, it's not a today solution. This is a long time, long term kind of solution. And of course, it takes money, which is part of the challenge. So between TDRs, easements, and some kind of a referendum, those are basically the three prongs. And Sam Parker says, look, we're going to have to accept density somewhere in order to offset sprawl and sucking up all of this farmland. So he's exactly right about that. And again, none of this is a silver bullet. All of this is going to take time. But Sam Parker's proposal is $2 million a year. Let's put $2 million a year into this out of a $193 million budget for Santa Rosa County. So about 1% of the budget. And, you know, the other commissioners seem to be relatively on board with at least moving forward with talking about this. And so we'll see. We'll see what Santa Rosa County tries to do. But if you were looking for a way to solve the problem of eliminating farmland, these are generally speaking the ways that it's trying to be done in the state of Florida. And here locally, because they just had this presentation, nothing's a voting idea yet, and they have expressed a willingness to commit some money to it, we could see some progress on this problem. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are a homeowner and you're thinking about selling and you want to get the highest, obviously, you want to get the highest value for your home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. I mean, they sold 175 homes last year. That is 3 a week. It's actually like 3.5 per week. It's amazing what they do. They have a whole system designed for selling your home. Everything from when you do the open house, how you stage it, what price you set the home for, how you photograph it, how you list it online, what things you might change. Because she will tell you, hey, you know that thing that you love so much? Not everybody's going to love that. And if you, you know, maybe it's okay to leave. Maybe, you know, that's costing you $2,000 on the sale price of your home and you don't even realize it. Maybe it's only $500, but $500, right? That's the idea. She will really help you find the way to get the best price for your home. Now, on the other side, on the buying side, who better to help you buy a home than somebody who knows how to sell it? Because she will know what's the right price. What are other people going to offer? What can you negotiate on? What can't you negotiate on? You know, what is this market likely to do? All of that stuff. So buying or selling, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio, Pensacormative, local, dependable.
You know, I seen me a mermaid once. I even seen me a shark eat an octopus. But I ain't never seen no phantom Russian submarine.
Your loving, but my logic tells me it never gonna happen, and then my defenses say I didn't want it anyway. But you know, sometimes I'm a liar.
Kind of feels like a Violent Femme sort of Monday, doesn't it? 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news. Men Who Cook yesterday was a huge success at Wahoo's Park. The weather was perfect. Oh my God, it was so perfect. You couldn't have written a better, you know, Chamber of Commerce, perfect day, perfect temperature, not a cloud in the sky, not big wind. I don't know. It was fantastic. Out there cooking with a bunch of my fellow males, because it's Men Who Cook, for the Pace Center for Girls. It's, you know, men doing their part to try to help out these girls. That, man, Pace Center does good work. Really, a lot of organizations locally that do good work. But we had a good time yesterday for that. And we did not win. I thought we did well. But we did not win. So, you know, so it goes. This is judged competition, right? 4-3-7-16-20. Big Moose got his third win in a row, by the way, for the overall. He just does fantastic work, really does. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see, we got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, to be fair, you were up against a lot of really great competition.
Yeah.
Men Who I actually ran into Moose when he was on his way, you know, pick up some supplies for that morning. So
no, it's always a good event. And oh my God, it's one of these things where you're gonna like a lot of it, and then you're gonna find a couple of things you're like, oh, where do I buy that,
right?
and we actually had one of those. I had a lady who she came up to me and she ate one. We made Ninja Beef Bites, which was a bagel chip with carne deshebrada, which is like a Mexican shredded beef like you use for street tacos, and then a sour cream pineapple and our homemade Ethan's Killer hot sauce. My son's name is Ethan. And all is a bite. And when you eat it, it's like two waves of flavor. It's the first wave, and then like the pineapple and the sour cream dissipates in your mouth, and you get all the beef flavor, and it's so good. Anyway, we call them Ninja because the flavor sneaks up on you. That's the idea. Anyway, so this one lady came, and she ate one. And then she came back, and she ate another one. And she said, so where's your restaurant? I'm like, I don't have a restaurant. She's like, food truck? I'm like, I don't have food. She's like, what do you do? I'm like, I work on the radio. She's like, so you're telling me I can't buy this anywhere? I'm like, no. She's like, you're telling me this is the last time I'm ever going to have this? I said, yeah, I'm so sorry.
See, the entrepreneur in me is thinking Let's set up a tent in the parking lot.
No, but she's like, I was gonna vote for you, and now I'm not because you made me angry.
Oh,
she was being such a sweetheart. It's like the best compliment you could ever get. I'm angry at you because I don't get to eat your food anymore. And she's like, can I come by the radio station and get some? Can I come by your house? Nice. I'm like, no, ma'am. It doesn't work that way. But she was adorable. Sorry, go ahead, David. You're going to the news. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I do news.
Yeah, that's somewhere in there. Yeah.
Jury selection set to begin today in former President Trump's hush money case. Trump accused of falsifying business records in the Stormy Daniels case there. His attorney, Will Scharf, tells Fox News Sunday he thinks it could be difficult to find an impartial jury this close to the election. A 9-year-old girl has died. 10 others were hurt after a shooting at a gathering in Chicago over the weekend. Police there say they responded to that scene, found several shooting victims at some type of a family gathering. They believe it was a targeted incident. And the future of the WNBA will find out their new homes when the 2024 draft gets underway tonight. Of course, at the center of the WNBA draft is Caitlin Clark, the Iowa basketball star. Expected to be the first overall selection.
Did you happen to catch Saturday Night Live over the weekend?
I did not.
So it was funny because Michael Che is always making jokes about the WNBA. And I mean, he's made several, you know, over the course of time. And so, you know how they do in Weekend Update, they'll do their little monologue and then they'll throw to some fake person, you know, to be, you know, whoever. And it's always one of the comedic actors portraying the person. Well, he threw to Caitlin Clark, and it was actually Caitlin Clark.
Oh, really?
And she wrote jokes to make fun of him.
Nice.
It wasn't the funniest thing ever, but it was one of those, how's that feel, Colin? How's that feel, Michael? So it was fairly entertaining. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, The Golden Bachelor? Oh, man, this is an ugly story. We'll talk about that, among other things.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.